Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. What a pleasure to have you with us today. Also a pleasure to have Barbara Pierce with us, author, retired teacher, who's achieved many strides in her lifetime. She's published 16 books that span genres and age ranges. She's earned a Bachelor of Science in Education, Master's degree in Education and Reading. And she started teaching in 1968 and continued for 35 years and worked as a substitute teacher just after retirement in the early 2000s. She's received honors from the Mount Vernon Parent Teachers Association and an Editor's Choice Award given by Poetry.com, as well as the International Library of Poetry. Recently, one of her earlier books drew the attention of Netflix, an honor any writer would get most excited about. A movie is now in the works. Isn't that exciting? She believes providing all children with their best education possible is of the utmost importance, and she'd like to think she's a beacon of light and a source of inspiration for all of her students. Barbara has a special enthusiasm for children of color, helping them to realize they are no less powerful, intelligent, or entitled than any other culture. In fact, her three-book volume is part of her work in the nonfiction genre, all about black trailblazers who changed the course of history, and at a time when adversity only served to fuel their dreams. In her Remembering Our Black Trailblazers and Their Legacies series, each has 34 mini-biographies of extraordinary black American folks like Langston Hughes, Thurgood Marshall, Jesse Owens, Madam C.J. Walker, Marian Anderson, Ida B. Wells, Louis H. Latimer, and many others. And book three includes modern icons like Oprah Winfrey and President Barack Obama. The individuals listed are just a few. There's still a much greater number of brave, unsung heroes. She's very passionate about her writing and her books. She goes at it like a cat. Her books are her legacies. It's really incredible. We're excited to welcome her live and direct from White Plains, New York. Author and retired educator Barbara A. Pierce joins me as my special guest for the next 30 minutes live here on Close Up Radio Live. Barbara, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
You're very welcome, and thank you for all of your incredible trailblazing success yourself. You've really inspired so many young minds to go out and do what they want to do and learn about the world and share it with the world, and that's very inspiring, and I don't doubt that we could spend an hour on the air just talking about all of the responses you've received from students over the years who probably have thanked you and praised you for the time and attention you've taken to help them succeed in their lives early on when they are being taught by somebody of your incredible background and compassion. So thanks for doing what you do. And, you know, you were born down south, but you had moved to the north and New York as a youth. Tell us about some of the inspirations, some of your own life's journey. And is that where you began teaching and where everything is now for you? Tell us about that move from south to north and what inspired you to want to go in to be an educator?
Well, when I came from the South and I moved to New York City, I was impressed by the way people spoke here in New York. I had a different accent, and I guess you call it brogue. And sometimes children would laugh, and I was determined that I was going to change my way of speaking. So I didn't do a lot of talking. I did mostly listening and tried to emulate the way the New Yorkers spoke. But I guess that didn't go over too well, because when we moved to Westchester, and I went to high school there, you know, I could tell that there was a difference in the way I spoke and a difference in the way they spoke. So I was determined to do better, and I enrolled in a remedial reading class in high school. And, you know, that helped me a whole lot, and it also helped me to listen more. But things worked out, and eventually I was accepted, and so I went to school in New York for a period of time, and then here in Westchester, I finished my high school here, and then I went away to Pennsylvania, Cheney State, Pennsylvania. At that time, the college I went to was a very small college, but now it has turned into a It's a bigger university now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, just listening and trying to, you know, when you know that something is a deficit for you, you try to improve in that area. And it worked out. And now I'm older. I'm retired. So I've done a lot, you know. But I was impressed by a number of – I have a book I started and when I was in graduate school. We were given we were given an assignment to write a little book. And I wrote a little book. It was called – I called it Lazy Sam at first. But then I thought better of it, and I said, no, I'm not going to say Lazy Sam. I'm going to call it The Game That Sam Plays. And it was only about six pages.
Yeah.
But the teacher had said that it impressed her because it seemed so real, and that that made me feel good that at least the teacher thought I was able to do something worthwhile. And I kept the book for quite some time. And one day I picked it up and I said, you know, I'm not going to waste this. I'm going to improve. So I embellished on those six pages. And now the book has, I think it has at least 26 to, let me see, 26. I think it's 26 pages. But it turned out to be a nice book. And I said, that teacher is responsible for me developing the courage, you know, to strike out. And then 30 years later, I decided to look for a publisher. I thought it would be easy to get a publisher, but it's not, you know. So I resorted to, self-publishing. And all of my books are self-published. So, and it became expensive, but I was determined to get my books out there. So I ended up doing a read-aloud at one of the schools in Mount Vernon. And that's where I would use the children as guinea pigs, excuse my expression, because they seemed to like what I had done. And I would read it to them. They would be excited about it, but I would only read it to them after I was a substitute then, and after we did the teacher's work, then that would be sort of a reward for them doing the work. And, you know, at the end, I wanted to make it fun. And that's how I ran my classes. We did the work first, so they knew they had to do the work. Then we would venture out and deal with the books, But that's enough on that. But I started my teaching in Mount Vernon, New York. And
Yeah. Place. Yeah.
40-some years.
I tell you, right? That's dedication. How about maybe you can share with us some of the names and the genres of some of your writing works? I know they include fiction, nonfiction, poetry, titles. Tell us about that.
Okay. I did three Black history books, Remembering Our Black Trailblazers and Their Legacies, 1, 2, and 3. Then I did one called What's Troubling the Old Manor House. That's fiction. The Game That Sam Plays, that's fiction. The Perfect Place for Toodles, that's fiction. Sophie Virginia and the Little Red Boots, that's fiction. Mama Lupita's Puree Olay, that's fiction. A Mystery in Winter's Park, that's fiction. But I've also done an audio book for that one with a different company. And I did A Challenge of Common Knowledge, that's trivia. I did two books for that, book one and book two. I did The Emperor's Regret. That's a folk tale. That's the one that Netflix seemed to be interested in. I did three books of poetry, From an Anthill Springs a Mountain, Just South of the Rainbow, Whichever Way the Wind Blows. And one of the last ones I did was Holiday Recollections. That's more or less a Christmas book. But and I've enjoyed every minute of it. So, but it takes a lot of work.
It does, yes, doesn't it? It does take a lot of work. But you're dedicated to it, and you always have been. A recent book, and one very dear to your heart, of course, is The Emperor's Regret, and Netflix is interested in it. Tell us about the moral of the folk tale and why you set it in the rainforests of Asia.
Well, you know, I was taught about the rainforest disappearing. At one time, we had a lot of rainforests. And the rainforest is very important to our planet, but it's being deforestation. Yeah, there's a problem because
all the
a lot
trees
of
down and yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of the businesses are cutting down the trees and displacing animals and, I wrote something else about the rainforest because that was important to me. And I felt that if I did this book and put it in the rainforest, that at least it would draw attention to the plight of the rainforest. Rainforests are usually found in Africa, South America, Asia, Canada, and Latin America. Before that, we had a lot of rainforests. The largest rainforest is found in Brazil. And I'm trying to get all these facts together, and I don't want to do too much reading. I just want to say what the importance of the rainforest is, and then I'll go to the book. The importance of the rainforest or preserving the rainforest is we get much of our oxygen from the rainforest, even though we might not live close to a rainforest, but we still get a lot of our oxygen, and we need oxygen to survive. let's see, the rainforest helps the earth. It maintains the earth's supply of drinking water and fresh water. So they are critical in sustaining the sustainability of our earth. There are two main rainforests, temperate and the tropical rainforest. But the tropical rainforest is the most common one. Let's see, the rainforest now covers about 2% of the surface of the planet Earth. That's about 50% of plants and animals live there. Let's see, certain species of trees and flowering plants in the forest have been discovered to have disease-fighting properties and cannot be found anywhere else. So it's really important that we at least try to maintain what's left of the rainforest. Now, the Amazon ecosystem is the largest tropical rainforest on the planet. Now, I just want to get to the book. And I took a trip to Africa early on, and I went on a safari in a animal preserve, and it was like a rainforest. And I went on the safari. It was a trip to Botswana, Africa, and I witnessed how leopards and baboons interacted in that environment. It was kind of scary because we were right in the midst of a lot of activity, and this was late at night. You could hear the leopards screaming at the top of the forest, just screaming. And, of course, I got quite nervous, and I said to the guide, because I heard things hitting the ground, and I said, are those apples? Because that's what it sounded like, hitting the ground. And he said, no, those are not apples. He said, those are the baboons jumping from tree to tree to get away from the leopard that was around the peripheral. The leopard was there looking for its dinner. And he said, the baboons are so frightened. What you hear is the innards or the food that they had eaten. They are, it's coming out of their bodies. They are so frightened. And I was frightened too. But he said, we didn't have to be frightened. The leopard was not after us. It was after at least the baboons. And finally, one of the baboons fell. And once the baboon fell, the leopard grabbed it and began to run around the outskirts of the animal preserve. And that was the end of that. Everything quieted down. The other baboons quieted down. But that wasn't a real scary experience. Now, the book is a folk tale. What I did is when I got home, it took me maybe months before I decided to write a book. But I wanted to write a fairy tale with that inside. And I decided to put the story in one of the rainforest locations in Asia, Southeast Asia. And you asked me why I put it in Southeast Asia. Well, to me, I wanted to have it in some exotic land. And to me, what I know about Asia, their buildings and their, you know, the colorful environment, to me that makes me think of an exotic area, and that's why I did that. But the book turned out to be more than I could dream. It says, okay, it's set in tropical rainforests in East Asia. The book tells the story of a troubled young emperor whose ultimate goal is to find a life with less responsibility. He was overwhelmed by his birthright. He decided to relinquish it and to seek a more carefree existence. His name was called Pahini. He summoned a man who was well-known, an elder well-known to possess great wisdom and powerful magic, to pursue his desire. As he experiences the freedom of his new life, reality falls dangerously short of his fanciful expectations. I'm not going to say any more about the book because I would give it away.
Right.
But it seems that people are really excited about the story. And you asked me about the moral of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an old moral where life is not always best someplace else. You know, we think we're in bad situations, and you try to change it by going someplace else, and you might be in a worse situation. And I wrote at the end of the back of the book that I hope this story will encourage readers to consider possible consequences first before making important decisions. Hasty actions will too often deliver unwarranted outcomes. And that's the crux of the book. Mm. But of course, you would have to read it to really get the full meaning.
Is it available at Amazon and places where the books are available?
Yes,
there?
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Hello? 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 Jim? Hello? Jim?
Yep, we hear you.
Oh, okay, because it looked like we blanked out.
Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on my house phone, but
yeah,
it blanked out.
It blanked out. I was mentioning that you know, the books you said are available on Amazon and other places, right? You think
mm-hmm.
you can get them online? That's great.
Yes.
You even received an Editor's Choice Award for one of your poems, Choose Your Words Wisely.
Okay.
You wanted to, we've got about maybe 5 minutes left, but did you want to read that for
okay.
us?
Okay. Let me do it.
Choose Your Words Wisely. And
okay,
in this
it's
day
found,
and age, that's
it's found
a perfect
in the,
title.
Well, you know, in my school, they had, what do you call when children pick at other children? Bullies.
Bullying,
and,
yeah.
I wrote it really in, you know, with that in mind. But it's also for adults, too. Choose your words wisely. Remember, words are used to communicate, so use them wisely. Words can alienate. Words can instill hate. Words can be a barometer to evaluate. Words can cause pain and humiliate. Words said in anger can never be retracted. Words, when remembered, is a scene reenacted. While other words may take their place, the damage done is hard to erase. So choose your words wisely. I don't know, that just came to me, and I thought perhaps I could encourage children not to be so mean, especially verbally, and you know, just don't, you know, be nice. Be nice to each other, you know. We all have to share this planet here. So, but that's my book.
That's so important. It really is. Congratulations on that. And
thank you.
You know, such lovely rhymes, too, and a great message for kids today. What are some other things you would want our listeners to remember after getting to know you and your work? Of course, not being judged by anyone, including a teacher, and not letting anyone or anything hold you back from achieving your goals, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you have to stay focused. You have to, first, you have to have preparation. You must, and education is your preparation for a lifetime. If you don't become educated, then how can you meet your goals that you set? So as I say, get that education. That's the preparation. Then focus. Stay focused. Don't let anyone turn you around. And that's my last word. Hello? Oh, boy. Hello? I think we are cut off again. Hello? Hello?
Yep.
We were cut off again.
We're on the air.
I'm sorry. I can hear you.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Yeah, we've only got a minute left, so we'll take it home real quick before we wrap. When you look at your extraordinary body of work and your incredible career, what did you find most rewarding about education and your role as a teacher?
Well, you know, I met so many interesting families, and as a child coming up, I was mostly just with my family and people like me. But once I became a teacher, I was exposed to different cultures, different children, and I learned to appreciate their differences. And they learned to appreciate me, you know. I never had traveled outside of the United States until I became a teacher. And that's what led me to want to travel to other countries, because I was impressed with the differences and the similarities. And I really appreciate that experience.
That's beautiful. It really is. I encourage folks to have an opportunity to get the books and learn more about our very special guest, Barbara A. Pierce, award-winning and renowned educator extraordinaire. And again, we're very excited about telling you that some of these incredible works, Netflix is even looking at The Emperor's Regret. So keep an eye on that, because that could turn into possibly a movie, which that's quite exciting, isn't it, Barbara?
Very exciting. I never expected that.
Wow.
I really didn't.
Yeah.
But I always wanted it to happen, and I did prepare.
So. Yes, for it to be on a larger scale, exactly.
I
think you've been preparing your entire life, which is amazing. And as I mentioned, remembering our Black Trailblazers and their legacies, the series each has 34 mini biographies some extraordinary people in it, so look for that as well. Barbara, thanks so much for joining us on the show. This really was a treat, a delight, and a pleasure. Hope we get
Thank
a
you.
Chance to explore some more and chat some more down the line. That would be wonderful, but I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you, and congratulations on all the wonderful success and all the hearts and minds that you've touched over the years, but also you continue to influence, inspire, and touch along the way.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. You enjoy the rest of your day, and I encourage folks again to go to Amazon. I want to spell her last name, so when you are Googling and searching, it's Barbara A, that's the letter A, that's the middle initial, and Pierce is P-I-E-R-C-E. Extraordinary author and retired teacher who has achieved many strides in her lifetime. She's published 16 books that span a wealth of genres and age ranges. This is Jim Masters thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another extraordinary guest right here for you on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.